بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسر شبكة الألوكة بالتعاون مع المكتبة المركزية للكتب الناطقة أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة.
A Glimpse of Islamic Faith by Ghalib Misri. Read by Ahmed Azat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dedication to the searchers for truth with an open mind and an enlightened heart, to those who are keen on saving themselves from going astray and living in the broad expanse of light, to every man and woman desiring to know about Islam's attitude towards the major issues of divinity, the universe, and life, and about the position and role of man in the universe. I dedicate this quick glimpse of the Islamic faith. Introduction. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Islam has liberated man from mental bondage and trained its followers to search for the truth with open minds. Allah has honored the human mind and made it a means of discovering the tokens of his existence and glory in the universe and understanding his glorious revelation. In the time when the non-Islamic world was suffering from the abyss of the so-called Dark Ages, the Islamic world was already living in an age of enlightenment and had advanced in all fields of life, spiritual and material. That is, in fact, a natural outcome of the living faith, which is compatible with undefiled human nature. When in action, the Islamic faith brings forth other honorable examples of human civilization and guides men to the straight path. This faith is summed up and pronounced in the following Arabic words: أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. It can be transliterated into Roman letters as follows. Its meaning in English is, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. A brief explanation of the Muslim faith is given in the following pages. Yet, this is only a glimpse for those who are interested to know about the articles of the Islamic faith. It could also be a step forward on the way of studying and discussing the foundations of Islamic belief. It could convince sincere searchers for the truth to embrace the true religion. An impartial assessment of their beliefs and practices should hopefully lead them to shift their stand and guide them to the only straight path, that is Islam. Man's need for the correct creed. Man stands at the peak of creation and holds the position of the master in this universe owing to the unique qualities he enjoys. He is provided with a number of faculties and qualities that enable him to control and build this world. He is endowed with sense to make him understand things and acquire knowledge. He is also provided with the means of power and control. He enjoys, too, a variety of emotions and feelings, such as love, hate, anger, etc. These qualities are two-edged weapons that can be employed either for good or for evil purposes. Power, for example, can be used either for helping people and giving them happiness or for wronging the weak and oppressing them. The human mind can be used either for inventing the means of luxury and comfort or for manufacturing the devices of death and destruction. Therefore, there must be some other force or drive that is able to control these human qualities and faculties and direct them in the interest of man and his community. That is, the sound belief in the one and only true God and his perfect attributes, and in the resurrection after death, when everybody is brought to account for his past deeds. This belief will be the main factor that leads man in the right path and keeps him away from evil and injustice. It helps to build a real ideal society, as it was witnessed in the past when Islam was embodied in actual life and the Muslim society was a concrete representation of the Islamic faith. In fact, Allah does not need our belief in Him, nor does He need our worship and submission to His exalted will. It is we who need this belief in order to be correct in our concept of life, the universe and its creator, and to achieve our happiness and welfare both in this world and in the hereafter. Monotheism in Islam. Islam in general means surrendering one's whole self to Allah, getting rid of polytheism and complete submission to the orders and instructions of Allah. Submission to Allah is a thing which Allah requires of the whole humanity, as He is its creator. He has created the whole universe and has alone dominates over it. It's the duty of creatures to their creator and a requisite of their servility to their Lord. Islam was the religion of Adam, Noah, Abraham, and other prophets up to Muhammad, peace and blessing of Allah be upon them. For the faith was one and the same, although the applied ethics might be different. The Islamic faith consists of six fundamentals. Number one, belief in Allah. Number two, belief in His angels. Three, belief in divine books. Four, belief in His prophets. Five, belief in the last day. Six, belief in divine destiny. The first fundamental is the most important of all. Religion and human nature. Belief in Allah. Everyone is born upright by nature. Pure nature leads to Allah, the one and only true God. In fact, human nature awakes to Almighty Allah's existence very early in life, even earlier than we may think. We generally think that only an older person ponders over Allah's existence and oneself and oneness. But if we observe the life of a little child, we notice that in a certain stage of his life, he asks his parents endless questions about the things he sees around him in the universe. Who made the heaven? Why is the sky blue? Where does the sun go at night? Why doesn't it appear to us at night? Where does light go when the dark comes? Why do stars glitter? Where does the earth end? Why does one flower have smell while another doesn't? Where did I come from? Where was I before I came? Etc. What do all these questions mean and indicate? They indicate that nature in this child has begun to awake and recognize the Creator of the earth and heavens through his tangible and seen creation. There are several effects that touch man's senses and awaken him to the fact of Allah's existence. Oneness and peerlessness. The universe, so vast and wide, would certainly awaken man to that plain fact. Those great dimensions in the skies and the earth, those countless, immense, celestial bodies, who has created them. The earth, though too tiny compared with other celestial bodies, contains mountains, plains, oceans, seas, and rivers that would take the whole life of man to learn about a small part of them. How then about the solar system, of which our earth is only a part? How about the Milky Way, of which our solar system is considered a small part, and other celestial masses, which contain millions and millions of galaxies like ours, and millions of stars, in comparison with which the large sun is considered to be too small. With all its bulkiness, the universe is marvelously accurate. Night and day follow each other so precisely that we adjust our watches to them. In fact, the whole universe is so exact in its astronomical revolution that clocks in observatories, which are the most accurate clocks we have, and to which clocks in broadcasting stations are adjusted, are themselves adjusted to the extremely accurate astronomical revolution, which is never disturbed in the course of time, unless, of course, Allah willed it otherwise. Every being, animate and inanimate, enjoys such miraculous accuracy. Have you seen the extremely minute living cell that can be seen only under the microscope? Yet it grows, splits, and performs highly wonderful tasks which make man helpless and humble towards the omnipotence of Allah, who, other than Allah, has infused it with the secret of life and guided it to such surprising activity. A germ cannot be seen with the unaided eye. A minute kind core virus cannot be seen even under the ordinary microscope. Yet, you know from your studies in science that it might cause the most deadly disease unless man immunized himself against it by means of medicines and serums. The multicellular being, man at the top, was originally one impregnated cell, which went on splitting and growing till it became an integral being. What power other than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it life and activity? Most surprising in that splitting process is the fact that those cells appear similar in the beginning, then orders are given to them to specialize and take certain forms. One cell moves to a certain place and becomes an ear, or part of an ear. Another cell goes to another position and becomes an eye, or part of it. A third becomes one of the brain cells. Four turns into bones, etc. What order did those invisible cells receive and obey in such extraordinary exactitude? It is the order of the Creator. Exactitude, the order of the Creator, He orders them, and they obey Him, and move, and form in accordance with His divine will. Have you observed a multicolored, fragrant, beautiful flower? Who has bestowed it with that fragrance, and how have these colors combined in it? Suppose you tried to perfume a flower so that it would diffuse fragrance from morning to evening, and to paint it in all colors so that it would not lose color so long as it exists. How hard would it be for you, and how far would your attempt be successful? If all people on earth busied themselves with such a task, with all flowers growing on earth or in the sea, could they perform it? And even if they could, what time and effort would be left for other activities? Yet millions of flowers on earth grow, scented, colored, and pleasant. Allah has created all without the least effort or distraction from directing the immense universe. For He, glory be to Him, only says to a thing, be, and it is. For Him, it's so easy. The phenomena of death and life also attract man's attention to the miraculous divine power that gives life and death. What is life in reality? It is a marvelous secret which no one can explain. All that man has so far attempted is the interpretation of some phenomena of life, such as movement, growth, and physiology. As for life itself, what is it? How does it exist in living things? How does it direct them to fulfill their functions? All this is a vague mystery, incomprehensible to man. Man, especially biologists, has employed all his scientific knowledge to create one cell of billions of living cells with which the divine creation abounds, but all was in vain. As for man's livelihood, whether in the form of rain falling from the sky, crops growing from earth, fish, birds, and animals, treasures and minerals underground, the air we breathe, the wind driving ships on the sea, or power driving machines such as steam power, electric power, atomic energy, and the power of fuel, or of water falling down from mountains, who other than Allah provides all these? Lo, Allah, He, it is that gives livelihood, the Lord of unbeatable mind. Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, Surah 51, verse 58. Man yearns after the unseen, which only Allah knows, but all his attempts fail. He longs to know what is in store for him in his future life, what his lot will be next year, what is going to happen to him a month or a week or a day later, and what is going to take place in a moment. He cannot discover what is going to take place in a moment, whether good or evil. Who other than Allah alone enjoys omniscience, since He has created everything, and nothing in the heavens and the earth escapes His infinite knowledge. Many things impress the human mind, awakening it to the idea of the one God, with no partner. It perceives that He alone possesses perfection, might, glory, greatness, and limitless powers. He is Allah, the one and only, Allah, the eternal, absolute. He begets not, nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. The Holy Quran, Surah number 112, verses from 1 to 4. Thus, man would enjoy righteous nature and be an upright believer. But the human nature sometimes suffers from derangement and relapse. The faculty of perception may be dulled, so man fails to perceive the signs of inimitability in the universe and life. He forgets the miraculous power that gives livelihood, controls events, and possesses comprehensive knowledge of the seen and the unseen. When man undergoes a new experience, all his senses will be alert to it. If he notices a scene or hears something new for the first time, or goes to a new town, street, or house, he would be careful to recognize the details of the new place. He is highly impressed since it is new to him. But as he grows familiar with the scene or place and sees it several times, his senses no longer pay much or perhaps the least attention to it. Sometimes man behaves likewise towards Allah. He forgets that Allah is the creator, the director, the giver of life and death. He overlooks the multitudes of signs in this universe. He neglects to observe the rising sun and light until they are swallowed up in the dark. He fails to notice the fragrant, beautiful flowers with joyous colors and the melodious notes of songbirds. He ignores thunder, lightning, and rain falling from the clouds. He disregards the newborn baby and the dead man. He forgets about his complete weakness in relation to the absolute power of Allah. Other things may dull man's senses. He may be busy with his food, drink, whims, and transient worldly comforts, which would divert his mind from considering the portents in the universe, seeking Allah's favor and remembering the hereafter and the reckoning and retribution in it. Another cause of dull perception may be deviation from Allah's orders. Man would be rebellious against Allah on earth and follow his own lust. He would go beyond what Allah allows him to do because of his greediness and his desire to have mastery over others and make them slaves to his desires. So he encroaches upon their property, honor, or blood, and wants to deify himself so as to be worshipped beside Allah. He may be too proud to serve Allah, or he may be fascinated by what he possesses, his talents, health, power, money, or anything Allah has bestowed on him. He thinks he has acquired them by his own power and forgets that all these bounties emanated from Allah. The human perception or mind gets dull owing to one of the aforementioned reasons or to other deviations and relapses. So it forgets Allah worldly, holy, or ascribes a partner to him and imagines that someone or something in the universe shares divinity, majesty, and power with Allah. Thus, the human nature gets corrupt and is possessed by Satan, who derives it away from divine guidance and favor. Yet, Allah does not let his servants go astray. So he sent them prophets to call them to guidance and turn them back to truth. He has sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as the last prophet to be a harbinger of good tidings and a warner to all mankind up to the day of resurrection. He revealed to him the Quran and guaranteed its preservation. Lo, we reveal the reminder that is the Quran, and lo, we verily are its guardian. The Quran, verse number 15, that is Surah 15, verse 9. The Quran includes all that is essential for human nature to be noble and virtuous, guides to the real meaning of divinity, and acquaints with the rightful God, creator and director of the universe, owner of sovereignty without any partner. Messengers of Allah. One of the fundamentals of faith is the belief in the prophets, messengers of Allah. A man cannot be considered a Muslim or a believer unless he believes that Allah sent to mankind prophets from among themselves. who conveyed the truth revealed to them from their Lord. Allah brought them good tidings, warned them, expounded and interpreted Allah's message for them. Hence, man will be considered a Muslim only if he believes in all prophets and that they all brought the same truth from Allah, without making distinction between any of them. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe in Allah and that which was revealed unto us, and that which was revealed unto Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes, and that which was vouchsafed unto Moses and Jesus and the prophets from the Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and unto Him we have surrendered. Surah number 3 of the Quran, verse 84. Why has Allah enjoined belief in the prophets and made it a fundamental of faith besides belief in Him? Though the belief in Allah is the basis of everything, the answer is obvious. How can man know his Lord and worship Him in the right way without the prophets and their guidance? Consider the falsehoods of mankind concerning their Lord throughout history, how they imagined Him and worshipped Him in their various ages of pre-Islamic paganism. Once they imagined Him in the form of the sun's disk, as was the cause with the ancient Egyptians. Once in the form of Superman, as did the Greeks and Romans. Once in the form of the moon, another in the form of a star, and still another in the form of an idol. So fancies differed, and all strayed from the true God, because they sought guidance from their own imagination, desires, and limited knowledge, and didn't follow the truth in the right way as confirmed by Allah, that is, through prophets to whom the truth had been revealed. No less wrong was the perception of various times of ideological ignorance when there were small gods besides the Lord of Lords who enjoyed some of His traits, such as a god of rain, another of lightning, another of thunder, another of the wind, another of the sea, that is Neptune, as another of fertility, another of progeny, and others of every affairs of life. If we believe that divinity and lordship are the major issues in the life of man, and that the worship of Allah is the object of human existence, I created the jinn and mankind only that they might worship me. Quran, Surah number 51, verse 56. Then we will understand why belief in the prophets is a principal constituent of faith, for as we have seen in historical reality, it's impossible for humanity to be guided to the truth with regard to divinity and worship through other than the right and authorized force, that is, the prophets sent by Almighty Allah. The same applies to the necessity of belief in all prophets without distinction whatsoever between any of them. They all came for one purpose. They were sent to make it known that there is only one God in the whole universe, that is Almighty Allah, be He glorified and high exalted, with no partner. They said to people, serve Allah, you have no other God but Him. Al-Quran, Surah number 11, verse 50, and verse 61, and verse 84. So what is the meaning of the believing in one prophet and denying another? In fact, denying any of them is the same as denying them all, since they expounded to men the same thing revealed to them by Allah. We sent no messenger before thee, but we inspired him, saying, there is no God save me, Allah, so worship me, القرآن سورة number 21 verse 25.
من فضلك تابع بقية المادة.